Greetings in Jesus' name. Been blessed being here this morning already. I'd like to just pause and have time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do just pause here this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you for the time that we could spend together here just singing praises unto you this morning. We thank you for the work that you have done in each one of our hearts and lives, for calling us unto yourself. And thank you that we have the ability to respond to that call. And we thank you for the peace that we can experience as we do that. I thank you for your word that was taught to us this morning already. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply those things to our lives. I pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, Father, here this morning, I just pray that you would, again, that you would minister to the needs that we have. I pray that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. Lord, we just desire that this time, this service here would bring honor and glory to your name. And Lord, I do pray for if there's any that are listening in here this morning in the service, Lord, we just pray that you would be with them. I just pray, Lord, that they would be ministered to and feel encouraged by the preaching of your word. And Lord, we just want to now commit this time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the last time I was had a message here, I was preaching on examples and being an example, and I've been pondering about that message. And when we think about using our lives and to bring honor and glory to God and being an example, we all probably would admit that we find it easy to do so when others are doing that around us. We see an example in Daniel. Daniel was put into a place not by his own accord, but by the hands of others. And he was put into a position where others were not honoring God. And he purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself by the king's meat. It's because of a relationship that he had with God. And so he chose at that point to be an example for God. This morning, the title of my message is Homes That Represent Jesus. And here again, we find ourselves in, I believe, as God's people, we want to do that. And when all that are in our homes are doing, making a good effort and doing that, it's easy to just slide into the flow and we do it and we are blessed. But sometimes we find ourselves in a position where it isn't that way. And we have to take the position of Daniel and say, I'm going to stand out. I'm going to do this because this is what God would have me to do. Recently, we had a message or messages preached to us. And I think, I don't remember exactly the title of the message, but it was concerning revival in our homes. Was one of the messages. And when we place ourselves before a message like that, if we're honest with ourselves, we can probably find things in our lives that God wants to do a work. He wants to change that about me. And our hearts are pricked and stirred, and we purpose. To go home and do something about that. In Luke chapter 8, verse 8, it tells us, there talks about conditions of hearts, and I hope that when we hear those things, that we are, this is what we represent, is that these things fell on good ground. And they're growing and bringing forth, in the process of bringing forth fruit. But sometimes we find ourselves, we hear these things, and it falls on hearts that are not prepared. They want the right thing, but it falls on ground that is stony and is shallow, doesn't have much opportunity for root. And it starts growing. But as we go out and about and face life, real life, we quickly find ourselves drying out, and we realize that we're not bearing much fruit, if any. So those are two conditions that I would like for us to consider as we think about the message that was preached, and as we just walk through some verses here and recognize and consider where we're at and where we're headed. In Hebrews chapter 3, just a couple of verses here in the beginning of the chapter that I'd like to read to us here this morning. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that build all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." Just like to pause there for a minute and just look at Moses there. The testimony of Moses was that he was faithful in all his house as a servant. Back when he was in a place that I'm assuming he didn't want to be, we can read that he was a faithful servant. Verse 6, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in the departing from the living God. We recognize here in this chapter, we see that if we want to represent homes that represent Jesus, that we need to have a work done in, first of all, in our own hearts and lives. We recognize that we need to experience Jesus. And as that takes place in our hearts and lives, that there is an overflowing that comes out of our hearts and lives, and we will choose, we will purpose to live our lives differently as that takes root in our lives. Just a couple of pointers that I would like to look at this morning that we see coming out of homes, I believe, that are representing Jesus, that are coming out of lives. We see gentle hearts. We see lives that are guarding their words, the things that come out of their mouths. We see actions that are taking place that have compassion. The things that we do, we're considerate of others. And then the fourth one is there's lives that are reflecting God's kindness. When we think about these things, I would dare to say that as God's people, in our hearts of hearts, we want to live that out. We want to do that. What's easy for us to do is life. Life is hard. Life, we go out about in our day and sometimes we feel like we get tossed to and fro and bumped about. And we come into our homes where it's safe. The people that we know the best. And we sort of just unload. We relax. And if we're not careful, we dump out all the things that we were holding in. And because of our outlook, we only share the hard things. And that sets up a foundation. I don't know if foundation is the right word, but it sets up an atmosphere for not very encouraging things. Or we can come home and talk about the things that happened, the things that we struggled with, and the things that we were rejoicing in, the things that we were blessed by. And when we see hearts like that, it makes us want to rejoice. It makes us want to trust God and to pray. So going back to these four pointers that I'd like to look at, Why would we not practice these things on the people we most love? In Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23, verse 7 and 8. I think I have the wrong passage there. Let's turn to Matthew. Maybe it's in Matthew 15, sorry. Another passage here that I was looking at in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The other passage that I was looking for is when we present two things coming out of our lives at the same time, sometimes it's easy for us to, when we're with people that we don't know so well, our guards are up. We know how we're supposed to act, and we purpose to do that. And we present one way of living. And then when we come home into our homes, and we lower our guards, and we get caught. And Satan is well aware, and he wants to make inroads in our homes, and he knows that if he can do that, that he has leverage in our lives. And we can see that God is not pleased when this is taking place. In Matthew 15, verse 8, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far, far from me. God wants to work through a people that these things are coming from their hearts. We, as a people, usually let the people we love the most see what is in our hearts. I trust this morning that as we do that, we see, we're used to seeing hearts that are open and honest. Hearts that when we find ourselves falling short, that those ears are used to hearing repentance and confessions. A gentle heart. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Those are those are the effects. Those are what, this is what we're going to see coming out of a gentle heart. Mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, and long-suffering. Just some of the things that we're going to see. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. To let your gentleness be evident to all. In in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ministering grace to the hearers. I trust this morning that's what we want. That's what we want to be that to the people as we go about rubbing shoulders with people. As we come into our homes and interact with each other in our homes, we want to minister grace to the hearers. My experience is that when we just start coasting in life and let our guards down and just start living that we will pretty quickly find ourselves doing other than ministering grace to the ears around us. But I think the more that we do it, the more it becomes part of our lives. But I believe that we need always to have the approach that Daniel did as he stood before his people, is that we have a purpose. And the reason is because we want to honor God. We want to honor God with our words, with our heart, and we want to bless the people around us. This is one way we demonstrate the Holy Spirit at work in our lives as we show gentleness. Another one is being considerate of others. Consider another person's point of view. When we consider and listen, I believe that is just another way of seeing God at work in our lives. Being patient with each other. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, I believe, talks about that. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Speak respectfully to everyone. Seek peace and search for solutions. Be a calm presence. James 1 verse 19 talks about this, to listen more than we speak. Listen more than we speak. Does everyone know what I'm thinking? That's an easy place to be. it's probably a natural place to be. But I think it takes the Spirit of God working in us to listen and to understand where other people are at, what they're feeling, what they're thinking. And in order for us to be able to do that, there's something that we have to do, and that is stop talking and listen and hear what is coming out of other people. Be humble as you serve and care for others. In Proverbs 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It brings encouragement. It motivates us. I trust that these are some of the vision that we have for our homes. As we think about a gentle heart. And if we are looking at that and realize that there's some things God wants to work out in my life, that's revival. That's what we call revival. And we see God pointing things out and wanting us to work those things out. Number two, guard our words with kindness. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. We're reminded here in these verses that the things that are going on in our heart is the things that are going to come out. I'd like to remind us that our words not only, I believe that our words affect us as well, and they also obviously very much affect others around us. In James chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. If we recognize that coming out of our lives, that we're to understand what's going on. And this chapter here talks about the tongue and how no man can tame it. And so it is the work of God in us that is doing that. Godly wisdom comes from God. It leads to peace. What does my tongue display about my heart? What does my tongue display? What does it tell? How does it tell on me? Number three, actions that are compassionate. In James chapter 2, going down to verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? We understand that very well. And God wants to work out his, he wants to reveal himself to us and to our families and to our, in our workplace, in our community, not by words, but by our actions, by the way we live. And if we find ourselves living in a way that we realize that God is not pleased with, and we come to that realization, we are in a good place. God is working. God is showing us. And he wants to change that. He wants to change our hearts so that the actions that are coming out of our lives are representing Jesus. And I believe that he wants to do that in our individual lives. And he desperately wants to do it in our homes, because he knows that as we allow that to be worked out in our homes and we understand and experience that, it motivates us to, as we go into our workplaces and into the community, it's just an outflowing of our lives. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus was talking to his disciples there, and the message that he gave his disciples there is, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I believe this morning that as we follow Jesus in these areas in our lives, and we allow God to work these things out in our hearts and lives, and invest into our homes and make our homes that is presenting Jesus. What Jesus told his disciples is going to become a reality. And as we follow Jesus in these areas, we will automatically become fishers of men. First of all, in our homes, and then beyond. Number 4, reflecting God's kindness in our lives. Ephesians 4, verse 32, kindness is the outflowing of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Unto those that are around us. Maybe I'll just read that verse 4. Ephesians 4, Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So as we experience that, it is an outflowing of something that has already taken place in our hearts. We've experienced God's forgiveness, and it's the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And this, as this takes an effect in our lives, I believe that it should be evident in our homes. And as it becomes evident in our homes, it becomes evident in our workplace and in our churches and in our community. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. If we're not careful, it is easy for us to overlook what we just read here, to overlook the Lord's kindness that he has shown to us today. I believe it's important for us to see what God has done for us, the kindness that we have experienced from the Lord today. As we rise up out of our beds, as we begin our day, as we go through our day, are we reminded of what the Lord has done? And there's many things that we can find that we believe that is the Lord working in our lives. And I would encourage you to take time and just go through that. We have family. Many of us have children in our homes. We have relationships that we can find somewhere in our lives that we recognize are a gift from God. And we can often see things that, wow, I was saved from an accident. And it's easy for me to just shrug it off. And it's like, well, that was close, and go on. But do we acknowledge, do we recognize that God protected us? Do we praise him for that? As the reality of what God is doing on a daily basis and of what he has done, as that takes a hold of our lives, takes a hold on our lives, it will have an outflowing from our lives. And I believe that it will bear fruit in our homes and beyond. In closing, again, the verse that I would like to leave with us here this morning is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, as Jesus was spending time with his disciples and preparing, letting them know what he had for them and that he was going to make them fishers of men. As we follow Jesus, and as we allow him to change us, to make us into the husbands that he wants us to be, the wives that he wants us to be, the fathers and the mothers that he wants you to be, the sons and daughters that he desires for you to be. As we follow Jesus and his teachings in those areas, I know our homes are going to change. Our homes are going to represent Jesus. And it's going to have an effect. As we see that happening, it's going to have an effect on my life and my family and beyond. However, we all have to choose it. We have to embrace it and follow it. So let's take these things in and allow God to encourage us and challenge us. And as God shows us things, not to be discouraged by that, but take encouragement. When God shows me something, God isn't trying to make us look bad, but it is actually God's Spirit working in my life and in your life and giving you an opportunity to change, to be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the many promises that we have. We thank you for, as we look into your word, we can see how you want us to act, how you want us to live our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do that. Pray, Lord, that you would forgive us where we have failed, but help us to rise up and be purposeful. And be like Daniel was. And he was willing to stand out and to do what he believed God would have him to do. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us as individuals to do that. And as families, that we would rise up to that occasion and do that. And that we would bless each other. Lord, we ask that you would keep your hand of protection over our homes. We know that the enemy desires to weaken our homes. And we ask, Lord, that you would protect us from that and help us to be the godly homes that you want us to be. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.